The Gospel according to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send them out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanian, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. Then these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sickness, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." The Gospel of the Lord.
Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote the following: "If the church is not making disciples, then all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible are a waste of time." Now, the first time I read these words, I was a little taken back because they challenged me to think and answer a very important question. Why does the church exist? Is the church here simply to preserve traditions, to maintain buildings, to provide programs, or to provide those gargantuan donut holes and coffee to keep church staff, including your pastors, employed, to make sure worship happens every Saturday and every Sunday? Now, don't get me wrong, all of these things have value, but according to Jesus, none of them are the reason the church exists. The church exists to make disciples. Everything else is secondary. Everything serves that purpose. And that is exactly what we hear in today's gospel. Jesus is traveling through towns and villages. Matthew tells us that Jesus is teaching, proclaiming the good news, healing the sick, and bringing hope wherever he goes. Then comes one of the most important verses in the gospel. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Notice what moves Jesus here. Not power, not influence, not success. Compassion. Compassion. The Greek word Matthew uses to describe this compassion is a deep, visceral, gut-level response. Literally, and I love this, it's a yearning in one's stomach or bowels. The Greeks often considered that place, your gut, to be the very place where deep emotion came from, where those emotions and feelings reside. So when Jesus sees people who are exhausted, burdened, frightened, lonely, sick, grieving, confused, and lost, his heart breaks for them at a deep gut level response. And understandably so, because the crowds who had gathered were not statistics. They were all beloved children of God. And if we're honest, the world still looks a lot like this today. We live in a world where wars continue to rage, where communities are torn apart by violence, where political divisions grow deeper, where anxiety, depression, and loneliness have become epidemic, where individuals and families struggle with illness, addiction, grief, and uncertainty. Every day, we encounter people who are carrying heavy burdens that we cannot see. The harassed and the helpless are all around us. Sometimes they are our neighbors. Sometimes they are our friends. Sometimes they are the stranger. Sometimes they are sitting right next to us in worship. And yes, sometimes they are us. And Jesus sees all of it. And his response is deep compassion that comes deep within the gut. And then he turns to his disciples and says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." It's easy to hear these words and assume that Jesus was clearly talking about somebody else, somebody with more credibility, somebody who had far more experience. But notice immediately after Jesus tells the disciples to pray for laborers, what does he do? He immediately sends them. The answer to their prayer is looking right back at them. They are the laborers. And remember, the disciples themselves were hardly impressive candidates. Peter was impulsive. Thomas doubted. Matthew had been a tax collector. James and John argued about who was the greatest. Several of them routinely misunderstood what Jesus was trying to teach. And Judas, well, Judas would eventually betray him. If Jesus were building an organization based solely on resumes and qualifications, these hires would have been an absolute train wreck. But Jesus wasn't looking for perfect people. He was looking for willing people. The only real qualification was that they responded when Jesus said, "Follow me." And that is still true today. The church has never been made up of perfect people. It has always been made up of forgiven people. People who stumble, people who fail, people who doubt, people who carry wounds and scars, people who are still learning what it means to follow Jesus. In other words, people just like you and me. And yet, Jesus calls us anyway, not because of our perfection, but because of his grace. And that calling begins in baptism. Long before we chose God, God chose us. Long before we understood discipleship, Christ claimed us as his own. So every baptism, then, is a commissioning. Every baptism is ascending. Ascending out into the world. Every baptism, God is saying, you belong to me, and now I am sending you into the world, into all the places that we find ourselves in the ordinary days of life, where people are longing for hope. In other words, Jesus is telling the disciples and you and me to bring life wherever we go, to bring healing wherever we go, to bring hope wherever we go, to bring the good news wherever we go. That is what disciples do. And sometimes it looks really dramatic, but more often than not, it looks ordinary. A phone call to someone who is lonely, a visit to a grieving friend, a meal delivered to a struggling family, a conversation with someone who feels forgotten, a word of encouragement, an act of generosity, a prayer offered at just the right moment. The kingdom of God often arrives through simple acts of compassion. Martin Luther once said that God milks the cows through the vocation of the milkmaid. In other words, God works through ordinary people doing ordinary things in love. That's discipleship. And the good news is that it's already happening. Every time someone from this congregation visits a homebound member, every time a volunteer serves food at a food shelf, every time a mentor encourages a young person, every time someone writes a card, offers a prayer, makes a meal, gives generously, or shows up for a neighbor in need. Which brings me back to C.S. Lewis. If the church is not making disciples, then all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible are a waste of time. Lewis was not criticizing the church. He was reminding us of our purpose. The church does not exist for itself. The church exists for the sake of the world God loves. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it this way: the church is the church only when it exists for others. So everything we do, worship, education, music, fellowship, service, mission, stewardship, is meant to help form disciples who follow Jesus into the world. People who see what Jesus sees. People whose heart breaks for the very thing that breaks God's heart. People who embody deep compassion in a hurting world. People who point towards hope found in Christ. And here's the beautiful thing about it all. We don't do it alone. The same Jesus who called the first disciples still walks with us today. The same Holy Spirit who empowered them empowers us. And the same God who claimed us in baptism continues to guide and sustain us today. So when we leave here this morning, we leave this place as disciples, imperfect, forgiven, beloved, sent disciples, sent into a world that is still harassed and helpless, sent to bear witness to the compassion of Christ, sent to proclaim hope is stronger than despair, sent to remind people that they are loved by God, sent to share the good news. And through God's grace, my hope and prayer is that we may continue to be exactly what Jesus calls us to be, a people who make disciples, a people who show compassion, a people who follow Jesus. Let it be so. Amen.